Sitting on the patio, looking out across the beautiful blue waters of the Sea of Galilee recently, studying these verses in John chapter 13 through 17 and thinking about you, I was struck by Jesus' statement. He is the perfect teacher. He has had 3.5 years to work with these fellows who are sitting around the table or at this time walking with him down from the Mount Zion across the Kidron Valley, headed over to the side of the Mount of Olives at a place called Gethsemane. And after 3.5 years with them and being the perfect master teacher that he is, Jesus said to his disciples, I have so much more I want to say to you, but you are not able to bear it now. What was missing? For one thing, he had said earlier that sorrow had filled their hearts, that the prospect of his leaving them had caused his disciples to withdraw into the cloud of disappointment. Disappointment can block our understanding of spiritual things. Stress of life can block out God's best efforts at communicating to us things that he knows we need to understand. He had also just said, it is expedient for you, it's good for you, it's beneficial for you that I go away. Because when I go, I'm going to leave or send the Holy Spirit into the world. He's going to take my place. Only he will not be distanced from you as one human is distant from a second human, each having their own physical bodies. But rather, he is going to come to live inside you. He will have an inside base of operations. He will work from within you out of the base of your own human life. He will make contact with your spirit. And through that contact, he will communicate directly to you. And he will also be inside you to empower you to not only understand, but to process and do the very things that he teaches you. What an incredible gift that was. I had just noticed the 5 things I want to show you this morning. And then this thought came rising out of my mind like the fog on a cool evening. Jim, is there anything in the world you need more than God? Are you satisfied with God? Now, for me, that was a fresh look at my life. What if you never go to heaven, Jim? Would you be content and satisfied with the experience God has given you now? Do you need anything? Is there any place you need to go? Anything that you desire to have? Any human relationship that would make you more fulfilled, more satisfied, and more complete than you are right now? You ever ask yourself that? So I began to ponder that question. It occurred to me that sometimes we get this backwards. We grunt and strain through life here on earth, knowing that eventually we're going to die or the rapture is going to take us to heaven, and then we're going to really live. No, that's not what God intended. What God intended was that here in the midst of the struggles, the persecution, the disappointments, here in the midst of this rough and tumble world, we would have peace, perfect joy, we would be fruitful and fulfilled. How can that be? Well, the thing that we miss many times in our definition of the Christian life is the person and work of God's Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He says to them, I'm going back to my Father, and then I'm going to send to you the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Helper. He has come, that's his purpose in coming, to help you individually as followers of me. And he is the Spirit of truth. No error in him, no delusion of the facts, no deceitfulness, no hide and seek, no bait and switch. He is pure truth. And he's going to come and he's going to reside inside you. And from that moment on, you will never be lonely. You need never be ignorant. Well, look with me at the five things the Holy Spirit intends to do in your heart and my life today. Look, first of all, in chapter 14 of the book of John, John chapter 14 and verse 25. Notice these two promises, these two things the Spirit of God has designed to do in your life. These things I have spoken to you, Jesus is saying, while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will, number one, teach you all things. How much will he teach you? Say it again. Now, you don't mean all things. I mean, you don't mean that the Holy Spirit actually has access to everything there is in every corner of the universe, that he actually understands what you cannot see, touch, smell, or feel, that he's the master teacher. You don't really mean that, do you? Some weeks ago, I was reading in the joke column in the Reader's Digest, and it told about campus life and how a couple of students who were freshmen got lost in this huge, ancient building called the library. And they couldn't find their way out. So they went to the phone on the wall and called up the main desk, and sure enough, somebody came and got them and took them out. A friend said, well, how did they find you if you couldn't find your way out? They said, we just read the names, the titles of the book on the shelves near us and the codes at the bottom, and the people at the main desk instantly knew where we were and came and found us. The Holy Spirit knows all there is in every document, every book, every laboratory, every human heart. He knows the mind and strategies of Satan. He knows by name and character every demon. He knows on a first name basis every angel, every cherubim, every seraphim. He is one with God the Father, one with Christ the Son. He knows all things, and he has come to live in you to teach you what? You believe that? No, you don't. When's the last time you lost something and stopped and thought, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit knows exactly where that is. I'm going to ask him, and then I'm going to stop worrying frantically about it. I did that very recently. It works. The first thing the Holy Spirit wants to do is to teach you all things. He has greater stuff, greater curricula. He has more stuff to teach you than you're willing to learn. Now, we often crab about the young people that go to elementary school, middle school, and high school about how they don't take advantage of that and how about they're bored and how difficult it is to get them to learn. Hey, how are you doing as a student, Christian friend? How much time have you taken this week to learn what the Spirit of God wants to teach you? Secondly, he will teach you all things. Secondly, he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, that presupposes that you got your mind in the book so that you know what he's already said. How did this work in the life of the apostles? Well, Matthew chapter 20, I think it's verse 72 or 68, says that the third time Peter said to that rowdy group around him, I don't know him, and he cursed and swore, a cock, a rooster crowed, and immediately Peter remembered what Jesus had said. Luke chapter 24 tells us that the women went to the sepulcher in order to put their spices on the body of Jesus, that they got there and the stone was rolled away, and they looked around and couldn't find the body of Jesus. And then two white men stood beside them and said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? Don't you remember? While you were up in Galilee, he told you exactly what was going to happen. And then, ta-da, they remembered. In Acts chapter 11, Peter has been taken up to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile Roman soldier. You cannot imagine a more hated individual from the first century Jewish point of view than a Roman Gentile centurion. He represented everything that was vile, everything that was oppressive. He represented the main character of Uncle Tom's Cabin. In our culture, in that culture. And yet Peter had very clearly been directed to go there, and he walked in. And he begins to answer the questions of Cornelius, and Cornelius and his household believe. And Peter's astonished. They not only believe, but they begin to speak in tongues other than Roman, just like Peter and the apostles had done at Pentecost. Chapter 11, Peter is called up to Jerusalem to report on this very, very wrong choice he had made. Why, you went to the house of a Gentile, you ate with Gentiles? Peter, you've lost it. And Peter's reporting, and he said, listen, when I saw in those Gentiles the same manifestations of the Holy Spirit that we had experienced ourselves at the beginning, back there at Pentecost, then I remembered. That's how it works. That's why you need and I need to fill our minds and hearts with this book so that when we go through the experiences of life, something will happen and bingo! The Spirit of God will connect that situation with something that God has said in His Word that you've stored in your memory or that you've stored in your heart, and the connection will be made and you will know exactly what God's will is for that moment. The Holy Spirit lives inside to activate our memories. We need to stuff good stuff into our brains. Turn off the tube some night. Take your Bible and just sit and just read. Set aside the newspaper one day. I guarantee you won't miss it. And spend that time reading the Scripture. Fill your mind with what God has said through the inscripturated book, and then watch how God will trigger your memory through the course of the day. Someone will say something, and bingo, you'll have a thought, you'll have an idea, you'll have a phrase of scripture. Who's doing that? The Holy Spirit is making connection inside you between what you have filled in your mind and what God wills for you to do in that situation. Think of that. You have the holy God of the universe, who knows all things, living inside you, constantly monitoring your experiences so that he can provoke into your consciousness God's word and give you clear direction for what he wants you to say or do. Isn't that incredible? Let me frame that one different way. The same Holy Spirit, who filled Paul and Peter and John and Jesus, lives inside you and me, Christian. And he lives there in order to exercise our remembering capacities and give us specific direction in the exact detail of the events of our life. It's incredible. There's a third thing the Holy Spirit has come to do. Chapter 16, verse 12. Jesus is saying, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, number three, he will guide you into all truth. Add the word in your translation, he will guide you into all the, T-H-E, truth. Now, the word guide here is a word that the first century Greek person would use for someone who is very familiar with an area or territory, and it's an area or territory where you're not familiar. In 1983, you graciously sent Tricene and me on a 5-week missions tour to Europe and Africa. We landed in the Central African Republic, and all around us was a sea of black faces. I mean black faces. Wonderful, gracious people. We couldn't speak their language. We didn't understand how to communicate. We had luggage. We needed to get through customs. We didn't know how to fill out the forms. We were absolutely at a loss. As we were standing there, I looked back behind all those black faces about 17 rows back, and there were two white faces back there grinning and waving. You talk about a welcome sight. And those dear friends who had gone out ahead of us, who had learned the language, knew the customs, were established in that arena, came down through that sea of black faces, shook our hands and said, "We'll take care of this for you." They were our guides. Everything we needed by way of communication, by way of information, by way of food, by way of shelter, by way of transport, everything that we needed, they had anticipated. They were our guides. Now, Christian friend, you and I are living every day in brand new territory. You haven't been in tomorrow yet. And you can't control the circumstances that will dictate the terms in which you will live tomorrow. But you don't need to, because the Holy Spirit has come to be your guide. And notice his promise, he will guide us into all the truth. He is the Spirit of truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he who is the truth now lives inside of us to make us, to guide us to facilitate for us the discovery and experience of truth. This is critically important. We live in a deceitful world. Satan and his dominions have powers of communication. Not everything you think, see, feel, or hear is from God. That's why John told us we must test the spirits. See, there are other guides out there willing to take you on a journey. But their destiny is not truth. Their destiny is deception and destruction. The Holy Spirit, who is truth, whose very character is truth, who knows all things, and who is committed to truth, has offered to filter every new encounter for us through the grid of truth. Yesterday at the Maxwell simulcast, one of the sponsors was showing me his company's work. And what his company does is go through all of the tons of stuff that's available on the internet and identify and screen out the things that are terribly, terribly wicked. So if you buy the service that he offers, that kind of stuff cannot come into your home or your heart or into your kids' home or your children's lives. He's screening out, he's filtering out what is vile and wrong and destructive. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's why he's come to live in you and me. To guide us into the truth and in the process to filter out the things that are demonic, destructive, satanic, vile. And he puts that filter right at the most strategic place, in your heart, in your mind. So you don't have to worry about losing it. And you don't have to worry about activating it. It's already activated. It stays on alert all the time. Isn't that incredible? There's a fourth thing the Holy Spirit has come to do in the life of every believer. It's also there in verse 13 of John 16. He, the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all the truth, and he will tell you things to come. He knows the future better than you remember the past. He not only knows the events that are planned by God, he not only knows the counterattacks that are strategized by Satan, he not only knows the forces of the fallen nature that rise from within us, but he also knows the schedule. He knows where God is and what God is doing in every heart, in every life that you come in contact with. He also knows what God has planned for you tomorrow, today. He also knows what God has planned for the world and what God has planned for every individual in your sphere of influence. Incredible. He will tell you things to come. Some weeks ago, I was traveling. Very strong impression that I needed to get a cup of coffee. Now, if you don't drink coffee, it's incongruous to you that the Spirit of God would lead me to get a cup of coffee. But give me a buy on that one, okay? So I slipped off the interstate, pulled in, had a cup of coffee. And I thought, while I'm here, I might as well have a piece of pie. So I had a piece of pie. Pie's not good without ice cream, so I had some ice cream. And what could have been, you know, a two-minute break ended up being about a 10-minute break. I got back in the car. I hadn't traveled 3 miles until I came upon a vehicular accident. He will show you things to come. I've had experiences, you have too, where you've gone into a set of circumstances, a room or something, and suddenly you had the impression, I've been here before. You ever had that? I've been here before. I know what he's going to say. I know what she's going to say. Where's that come from? See, the occult wants you to believe that there's one great consciousness in the world and that we are all part of that consciousness. Now, they got part of that right. There is one great universal consciousness. It's the mind of God. And God is willing to plug you in from time to time about those experiences in the future, those events in the future, which pertain to your safety, to your ministry, to your health, to your peace. He is also interested that you know and read the last chapter of human history. That's why you have the book of the Revelation. That's why you have 2 Peter chapter 3. That's why you have 2 Thessalonians. That's why you have the book of Daniel. That's why you have chapters in Ezekiel. That's why you have passages in Isaiah. God's telling you, the Holy Spirit is inspiring those people to write about and give you a narrative of things that are still out there in the future so you know what the final destination of earth is. And then he is willing, this Holy Spirit, is willing to and desires to live out in your life constant daily monitoring of things to come. Oh, there's one more thing. Next time. Well, let me give it to you. I won't comment. Verse 14, he will glorify me. Beware, beware a ministry that focuses on the Holy Spirit. That's not why he came. Celebrate any ministry that exalts Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. Focus upon Jesus, and we'll talk more about that in our next message. Now, listen, folks. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit himself, God, the third person of the triunity, the Spirit of truth, actually lives inside you. That's not fiction, that's reality. You have the best modem. You have the best server, far beyond anything that the internet people have yet come up with. Now, they're doing good. But the reality of having God himself live inside you, why is he there? He's there to teach you. And he has at his access all things that there are. No mysteries to him. He is there to facilitate your memory. And through that mechanism, to take what God has said in his word and actuate it in the life experience that you're having. He is there to guide you into all the truth, and he will never guide you into evil. He is there to do number four, whatever that was. And number five, he's there to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tell me something. Has he left anything out? Tell me. Is there anything that he could do that would add to the fullness of life that you and I would experience if we obeyed the Spirit of God, recognized his voice, and sought to do where he leads us to do and go? Nah. Nah. God and His truth and His word would be fresh, immediate, dynamic, and your day-by-day experience and my day-by-day experience would be so rich, so full of joy, so full of peace, so full of fruit, so incredibly marvelous that, although we will, you wouldn't need to go to heaven to be fulfilled. And that's what He wants. That's why He's here. Now, if you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, everything I've taught this morning, you can't experience. Because this gift from God comes as a part of the package of eternal salvation, which we receive when we trust Jesus Christ and receive Him into our life as personal Lord and Savior. Our Heavenly Father, give us a hunger to know You. Give us a passion to be filled with the Spirit of God. Give us new insight into the capacities that He brings, the way He wants to help us, the way He wants to guide us. He wants to serve our needs. He wants to lead us. He wants to teach us. He wants to activate our memories. He wants to glorify Jesus Christ in us. What an incredible gift this wonderful salvation is. Anything but boring. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Wouldn't you like to research? Wouldn't you like to resource that gift? Talk to Him. He'll hear your prayer. Invite Him. He'll respond to your invitation. Confess, forsake all those boring, sinful habits and attitudes that seem to be so important. Ask Him to fill you with all the fullness of God's truth, God's love, God's life. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart this morning, come on over into a rich, full life experience. Receive Jesus Christ into your heart and let Him forgive you of your sins and fill you with His grace, His love, and His forgiveness. Father in heaven, fill us with a hunger and thirst for righteousness that only You, by Your Spirit, can fill. And then fill us with Your Spirit so that we may know the height and depth and length and breadth of Your love, so that we might experience the very fullness of God Himself within the day-to-day experience of living out Your love and Your will in our lives. Thank You for this incredible life experience. Fill us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now go talk about that and encourage others to do the same.